We begin the hour with a special guest that I have been excited about for several days now at Playmakers Theater in Chapel Hill on the UNC campus. They're doing the PRC Squared series over the course of the year, and the show that is playing right now this week through Sunday is Rodney King. It's a one-man show about Rodney King, the man and the riots as well. It's written and performed by Roger Genver Smith, and he joins us now in the studio. Thank you and welcome.
Aaron, thank you so much for having me on this afternoon, and thanks for joining us last night at Playmakers for the premiere of Rodney King in Chapel Hill.
I got a chance to see this play last night at Playmakers, and it is so good. Playmakersrep.org is the website. Go there for tickets. Let's get that out of the way right now, because I cannot recommend this play highly enough. And if you don't know the name Roger Genver Smith, you've probably seen him. He's been in Do the Right Thing, Malcolm X, American Gangster, K Street, Oz. He's performed plays based on the lives of Huey Newton, Frederick Douglass, Bob Marley, Juan Marichal, and now Rodney King. So it is sorry to gush to start out, but it's a poetic piece. It's hypnotic. You're moving around the stage. Do you stop moving at any point in the course of the hour and a half? I don't think you do.
I think there are a couple of moments of stillness and silence, but generally it's played in a wonderful rectangle designed by Kirk Wilson, who travels all over the world with me doing this piece. And it's a kind of meditation on Rodney King's final moments. We lost him tragically in his own swimming pool two years ago in his backyard. The journey to the bottom of that pool was a harrowing one. It was a difficult one. It was a challenging one. As we know, he was beaten by the Los Angeles Police Department the evening of March 3rd, 1991. The trial of those officers who beat him resulted in not guilty verdicts all around, and Los Angeles exploded. They beat him 56 times, and there were 56 fatalities in that civil disturbance in April of 1992.
And my friend and I went to see the play, and we were reflecting afterwards on the fact that it's been more than 20 years since that happened, and yet very little seems to have changed. We're dealing with the situation in Ferguson right now. That's been ongoing this summer. I wanted to begin by asking what inspired you to write the play. You're the writer and the solo performer. It's a one-man show. But watching it, I almost got the feeling that this play wasn't so much inspired as compelled. So what inspired you? What compelled you? What propelled you to write this piece?
Aaron, when I opened up my laptop on Father's Day 2012 and saw that we had lost Rodney King the way that we had lost him, I was exceedingly moved. And I wanted to know why. Why did I care so much? Why did I care that I had, as if I had lost a brother? I wanted to know, by extension, how and why would my audience, my potential audience, care? So I went about the business of asking a number of questions from a narrator's, a journalist's point of view, simple questions of Rodney King. It's kind of constructed like a post-mortem interview from, you know, beyond the grave with the late Rodney King. And I've also described it as more of a prayer than a performance. I think that there is a certain spirituality to the evening, and I think that what Rodney King gave us in that great May Day speech in 1992 was of lasting value, absolutely.
You studied history before you went into drama, so you've got a strong historical background. But 1992 is something that you experienced directly. We both have experience of remembering seeing it live. So what was your experience of 1992?
My experience of 1992 was being right there in Los Angeles, California. And my friend Mark Broyard, with whom I do a wonderful duet entitled Inside the Creole Mafia, called me and said, "We're doing this again? We're going to do this again?" Because our childhood had been affected by what happened in Los Angeles in 1965, where we saw our neighborhood go up in flames, and hear our neighborhood once again going up in flames in 1992 as full-grown adults having to witness this again. So it was extraordinarily tragic for me to bear witness to that, and I had some conflicts with the LAPD myself. I broke curfew, and so I was pulled out of my car, and they were working hand in hand with the INS, and the INS kept asking me, "Where are you from?" Because they were putting people in indefinite detention. They were deporting people from the street straight back across the border. So it was an extraordinary experience to live through that, but I survived, and tragically there were many who didn't, and we hope to memorialize those people in this piece entitled Rodney King.
And I want to come back to the point that you just made about the fact that it's happening again and again and again, but before we get back to that, tell me about the play itself. It opens with a very, very powerful, a couple of very powerful recitations on one that you do on stage, and then the soundtrack before the play starts, the repetition of the interview that was done with Rodney King before he passed away, that he lives in a modest house with a backyard pool. That line gets repeated over
That's
and over
Don
again.
That's Don Lemon from CNN. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you recognize his voice.
Yep. And then the rap that Willie D did, which was harshly critical of Rodney King as an Uncle Tom. Why did you begin the play with those two components?
I think that we needed to cleanse the palate, as it were, and there's no better palate cleanser than Mark Anthony Thompson, my longtime collaborator who does the brilliant sound design for this piece. I told Mark Anthony, who lives in New York actually, hey, I need bookends. I need sonic bookends. Give me something at the top. Give me something to go out on. And that's what he provided for me, and I think he does it brilliantly. His band is called Chocolate Genius, so why wouldn't he do it brilliantly? So we needed that. We needed to get the information out there. We do an auto-tune on Rodney King's speech, Can We All Get Along? Then we hit it right up top with Willie D, F. Rodney King. Mm-hmm. And this was his take on it, because he didn't feel that Rodney King lived up to his standards of machismo. He didn't think that Rodney King should be on television saying that, you know, we can get along, because it was apparent to Willie D that we weren't getting along, that we couldn't get along. And so I thought that it was important to quote him, but I thought it was also important to quote Rodney King in his speech's entirety. Mm-hmm. It's usually just
a
sound bite.
Yep.
Can we get along? And it's usually misquoted because people say,
can we just get along?
Just get along. But he never said just because that's a diminutive. And he actually answered his own question at the end of the speech, and he says, we can get along. We can get along.
But the play opens with that taboo word, F. Rodney King, and the play is itself visceral. It's you on stage with a microphone, and the sound that you create just with that microphone of the sound of the blows that are inflicted on Rodney King. And there are other moments, one where you just drop the mic on the stage and it makes that noise. There were audience members sort of viscerally flinching throughout the entire show. What has been audiences' reactions to this piece? And has that reaction changed as you've performed it in the last few months with Ferguson?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, it brings to the fore certain ideas, certain issues, certain challenges that we realize once again are still with us. The conflict between the LAPD and Rodney King, March 3rd, 1991, is a conflict which has yet to be resolved. And the personal journey, I think, is something that is worth taking as well, not simply the social one, the political one. We know those aspects, but I think it's important to illuminate Rodney King as a person, as a man, and not as a symbol, not as a myth, and to show him as someone who is worthy of our attention, as is everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He was an everyman who was thrust into an extraordinary circumstance. And he gave us, I think, a wonderful pearl of wisdom when he said, people, can we all get along? Can we get along? Can we stop making it so horrible for the older folks and the kids? I mean, you know, there's enough smog in Los Angeles without having to put out these fires and things. It's not right, and it's not going to change anything.
And this is a man who is struggling with his place in the situation. He's struggling with brain damage. I saw your performance of it last night, and I watched the speech itself again today, and it's so powerful and it's so moving. And it's moving not in spite of the pauses, but because of them.
The things that he wants to say,
mm-hmm.
but he can't get to it. You know, he says, "I'm not a," and I think he wants to say, "I'm not a racist."
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he can't get to that word. I think he wants to say, let's be the change that we envision, but he never gets to that.
Yeah.
He can't quite get to he the,
never took
to the Gandhi
English,
quote.
Which is the line.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And also noteworthy in the play, and this is something that you call up again and again, the fact that the name Rodney King is itself a false symbol because he didn't go by Rodney. He
Absolutely.
Went by Glenn. That wasn't his name.
His family and friends called him Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
He was Glenn King. Rodney King was an invention. Rodney King had not yet been invented until that videotape was disseminated first locally, then nationally, then internationally. George
mm-hmm.
Holliday, who was an Argentinian plumber who just happened to have his new video cam, new technology, 1991. He's out on his veranda in the middle of the night and the LAPD helicopters are shining. You say, oh, well, this looks interesting. Let me get this.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
And you describe Rodney King as the first reality TV star, and that's appropriate. And that's something that comes back again and again every single time that you see something like this in the news, whether it's Mike Brown in Ferguson or Trayvon Martin. It's not the human being that we're talking about. It's the symbol, and it's the fact that we look at people and see not people but symbols that creates the problem in the first place. At least that's part of it.
Yes, because we're unable to embrace our sisters and our brothers as such,
mm-hmm.
and not simply as representative of something, some concept, some race, some class. It's an extraordinary journey that Rodney King took, and it's a tragic one.
Mm-hmm.
And during the course of doing this piece, the autopsy report
mm-hmm.
emerged, and I referenced that in the piece
mm-hmm.
as well, and that's really a tough thing
mm-hmm.
to acknowledge that a man can somehow be dissected,
vivisected, yeah,
and his organs are then taken out and measured and weighed, and all of that is online.
Mm-hmm.
You can download the PDF file.
Yeah. And comment on the comment thread.
Right.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And that gets back to the point that you made earlier that I wanted to get back to. We're celebrating this year, or commemorating, I guess would be the word, the 25th anniversary of the release of Do the Right Thing, which is about simmering racial tensions that erupt into violence after an act of police brutality. The Rodney King riots, same exact story. Ferguson this year, a similar story. And another point that stuck with me after I walked out of the theater last night, the fact that Rodney King was, I'm gonna butcher the quote, but a second generation accidental drowning. He wasn't the first in his family. This is a recurring thing. And
no, he was not. He
yeah.
actually discovered his father drowned in his bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
And his father was alcoholic, as was Rodney King.
Has anything changed in the last 25 years? When the history of the last 25 years is written, what will people say about race in this period of our history?
Well, I think that what was alarming to us in 1991 is not so much alarming to us anymore because of technology. Because everybody has a camera now in their cell phone. So the images that we get and increasingly seem to get this summer in particular are not perhaps as disturbing as they were in 1991. We see a video, for example, of a man by the name of Eric Garner being choked to death in Staten Island, New York, while he's saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I can't breathe." And we can run that video back and forth umpteen times, but still no one has been arrested for that. No one has taken any responsibility for that. And we saw it before our very eyes, just as we saw Rodney King being beaten before our very eyes on a videotape, which was not as clear as the one that came from Staten Island because the technology was more primitive. But tragically, our human relations are just as primitive.
We're speaking with Roger Genver Smith. The play is Rodney King. It's a one-man show. Again, I cannot stress enough how powerful this is. It's running now through Sunday, September 7th at Playmakers Repertory Theater. Playmakersrep.org is the website to go through for tickets. There is a Q&A session or a discussion after every single show, which is well worth staying for as well. And Roger, thank you for joining us. Before we let you go,
thank
I was
you,
Ryan. Wondering if you could just perform a minute or two of the piece so that people can hear it.
Well, I'll just continue Rodney King's May Day address. We'll get our justice. They've won the battle, but they haven't won the war. We'll have our day in court, which is all we want. We've got to quit. We've got to quit. We've got to quit. I mean, I can understand, you know, the first upset, you know, the first couple hours after the verdict, but to just keep on going on like this and to see the security guard shot down on the ground, that's not right, because these people will never come home to their families again. People, please, we can get along, we can get along. We just, you know, have to, you know, work it out. I mean, we're all stuck here for a while, so you know, let's work it out. Let's work it out. Let's try to be let's work it out. Please. Please, Chapel Hill, let's work it out.
The play is Rodney King. The performer is Roger Genver Smith. Playmakersrep.org is the website to go through for tickets. It is now through Sunday, and thank you so much for doing this and for bringing this to us. It's wonderful.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for your support, and let's go forward.
324 here at WCHL. Playmakersrep.org, again, is the website to go through for tickets. Please do so. You owe it to yourself to see this.